You're listening to Finding Your Genius Zone with Dirk Novell. With the help of successful individuals across industries, Dirk breaks down the unknown parts of every vocation while highlighting the importance of finding a career where you can leverage your natural skills, passions, and interests. Now here's your host, Dirk Novell.
Everybody, this is Dirk Novell. Welcome to my podcast. On with me today is Terry Sitford. Terry, welcome.
Thank you.
So Terry is coming to us from, Salt Lake. It's Park City, Utah. And I don't know Terry. I haven't known Terry that long. Terry was introduced to me from a mutual friend. And one of the things that really attracted me to you was you helped me kind of on this thing you call passion test. And I'm really into that. Obviously, this podcast is a lot about leveraging your passions, but Terry is much more than that. She's a speaker. She spoke on TEDx. She's an author. She's a life coach. She's done a lot of things. She's super successful. And so, Terry, why don't I throw it back at you and let you kind of just, in your own words, explain to the audience, what do you do? Who are you? How do you identify yourself as?
Thank you, Dirk. I'm so happy to be here. And I have really living my ideal life. Later on in my life, I have found what really makes me happy and my ideal skills. And a lot of people are out there probably listening and say, well, how do I find that? I want to find that. And I help people become their best selves by being a coach. I speak about my life story. And I talk about how all my obstacles turned into opportunities for me and how those obstacles help me live the life I really want to live and find myself. And then I also became an author, which if someone had asked me years ago if I was going to be an author, I'd say that would be the last thing on the list. So what I think I want the audience to understand here is that never say never, and you'll never know what you are capable of achieving unless you try. So I'm really living a life that I couldn't even imagine living 20 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to categorize, like, what's 1, 2, 3, or are they all kind of just blended together, like in terms of careers, like when you wake up and think about yourself, do you think of yourself as all of it? Or do you think of yourself as a coach, as a speaker, an author?
I think of myself now as all of it, which is interesting because in every one of those things I do, I am making a difference or impacting people. And I hear back from people a lot, whether it's my speaking, my podcast, my books, and coaching. I'd say coaching is kind of near and dear to my heart because it's I can see the results right away. But yeah. I would say all of them, really.
So courage is a word that I see a lot when in like your description on LinkedIn, your bio. Can you kind of in your own words articulate like the angle with courage and how you leverage that in what you do?
I would love to. Courage is not a word that I thought about 15 years ago. I didn't really ever talk about courage. And I was a coach for 20 years. I saw women do amazing things. Mostly women came to me for coaching, some men, but I saw them do amazing things. And I was talking to my friend and I said, you know, these women do amazing things, but they don't see it in themselves. And then she suggested, Terry, you know, you should do a survey on courage from 100 women. I'm like, courage? I mean, how do I get 100 surveys? And then you should write a book about it. No, I can't write a book. No. She goes, Terry, I'll help you. So we started with our first survey. You know, we just one after the other, and it took about a year to get 100 surveys. And then she helped me write my first book, which was 100 Hearts. And it was stories about women. Okay, and here's the follow-up. So I'm out there after the book was published, I'm out there, you know, signing books at, you know, Barnes and Noble and a lady in the audience says, Terry, tell me about how you've been courageous in your own life. I was like, I was speechless. I had no idea what to say because I didn't see myself as courageous. And that started me on the journey to looking at myself and my past life. And I started to see myself as courageous for the very first time in my entire life. And that led me to doing a TED talk, a TEDx talk on the subject of courage. And then I just started coaching on courage. I have a podcast on courage, and I wrote a second book that includes courage. And the more that you see yourself as courageous, the more courageous you become, is really how I would describe courage. And it's going beyond, it's facing any fear and moving through it. On the other side, you will achieve things you never imagined possible. That's what's on the other side of fear.
So if you don't mind, I'd love to kind of stick on this just for a little bit, because when we met and we were talking about courage, I never really thought of myself in that light, but I've also, like you, I said, you know, I've been very brave and courageous, just challenging stereotypical belief systems, like society, career, what I should do. I had a dad who was very all about money, and so my definition of success for a long time was his. But I've always challenged the system, right? And so when you talk about being courageous and courage or whatever, can you just, like, we know what that word means, but can you, is the goal to go for it? Like, is that what you're really trying to help people propel them to do? Or is it get beyond their fear to live better lives or have better careers? Like, what's the end goal here?
Courage, the definition of courage is a huge variety of things. But what I learned is courage is doing hard things or difficult things and facing difficult things. And it can be challenging the status quo, like you, and not living the life that someone told you you're supposed to because you didn't feel like that was right for you. That's courageous. Stepping into your full potential, that takes guts, because society doesn't really support that a lot of the time. And that's a hard truth. Getting over your obstacles or your failures and not letting it hold you back for the rest of your life, that takes courage. To go somewhere you've never been before and it's really, really uncomfortable, that is courage. So it's facing difficult or challenging or uncomfortable things and getting on the other side of it. I actually look forward to that feeling now in my life, because I know that's where I will grow and learn and go into a place I've never been before. And so, you know, you start to look at courage as this kind of exciting thing in your life.
Yeah.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, no, it totally. You kind of like leaning in, like I totally get it. Like, it wasn't safe for me to fail as a kid. My dad was all about performance and sports, and I realized, like, when I got out of school, I avoided certain situations because I was fearful that it would put me in a safe place mentally. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, I don't like this. You know, I'm not doing well. I don't look good. I don't whatever. And so I think I'm following you. And I guess one of the things I want to tie it into is a young adult that's maybe watching now that's in college or high school, or maybe they're in their 30s and they're thinking about a career change. How do you become courageous in trying to choose a career? Like, there's so many voices, parents, mm-hmm. social media. And by the way, I don't mean to ramble. I try not to talk a lot on my podcast and let you talk, but like you've had all this experience in life that's kind of put you in this position, right? And so what I'm trying to do is expedite that wisdom, you know, because sometimes you just got to go out and date to figure out who you like, or you got to have some jobs to figure out what you want to do. But I'm trying to kind of get younger people to think differently about their career. And sometimes you kind of just have to live life to figure it out. But how would you translate courage to somebody that's trying to figure out what they want to do?
That's a great question. I would translate courage into being really true to yourself and to find out, what does that mean for you? And it's okay to make mistakes, because sometimes on that road to trying to figure out what's true for you, you make mistakes, you learn more about who you really truly are. And find out, you know, what your strengths are. What makes you, you know, what gifts do you think you might have that other people don't have? what activities bring you a lot of joy and happiness? And just it's an inside job kind of at this state in this time in your life. And you have to kind of be careful of listening to the noise. There's a lot of noise out there, whether it's, you know, the people that you're your age doing different things, and they appear to be so successful doing what they're doing, but it might not be your path, or your family, society, all of these things. It's okay to be you. So, and that's what truly will bring you fulfillment and happiness down the road. And it takes a lot of courage to say, you know, thank you, but this is my path. And this is what I want to do. And even if you take a path that you think you want to go and it wasn't the right thing, you're going to learn something from that. And it's going to make where the direction you do go even more powerful.
Yeah, I love it. Like, so let's just say your boys are a little older, but you've got a son or a daughter that's coming out of college and they're like really struggling, right? And when we talk, these are things that we probably have. We can talk this way, I think, because we have life experience and we kind of understand, like, okay, I know what it feels like to be trapped or stuck or whatever. But when you're 25, you're thinking about paying off debt, you're thinking about getting a new car, you're thinking about moving out, maybe you're thinking about getting married. But I want to crash underneath all that stuff. So what would be your advice to somebody that's like, okay, so how do I figure that out? Do I just journal? Do I get a career coach? I mean, it seems simple to you and I, but like, how does somebody younger really kind of put that into action?
I think you hit two things. I mean, the journaling is a really great idea. And just kind of understand what you're feeling, what you think you're good at, you know, what makes you happy. What obstacles do you see in your way from you obtaining that? And then a career coach is definitely, or a business coach would really help you, because they help you in life and in business, and also take the pressure off. I see a lot of young people putting so much pressure on themselves, and just, you know, do the work with yourself, a career coach or a business coach, and then take one step at a time and start taking one step at a time. There's many pieces to your life that will make you happy. And it's not just one piece. So it's really important to understand, like, what if you have a full-time job, you're making money, and it might not be the thing that you love right now, but it's a stepping stone to get you there. So that will fulfill you and you'll feel good about yourself because you are making money, putting money away, or you're paying off your bills, whatever it is. So it's take the pressure off. You have time. A lot of people your age in this younger generation feel like I have to figure this out right now. And many people have second careers. I've had three or four different careers, and each one has led me to the next step or the next career that led me to where I am today.
Yeah. So I'm curious, if we take a piece of pie and carve it out, like with all you have different, you know, you're an author, you're a speaker, you're a podcaster, you're a realtor, I still believe. Like, what percentage of time is allocated towards each of those?
Right now, you know, it's just, I'm not doing as much of the being a realtor. My husband's doing more of that. Yeah. But I still have, you know, I still do it once in a while. And it's something that we do for our family. You know, I think that it helps everyone. So it feels good. And then I put most of my time in coaching and speaking and podcasting. And that brings me joy. And, you know, that's what it's really about. And a lot of people right now, let's say, I want everyone to know, I didn't always have this job that brought me so much joy and fulfillment. I was a pharmaceutical rep, which was hard work. I was working 60 hours a week and it was tough. And it was more of a male dominant world out there back then. And, you know, it was tough, but I started my coaching career on the side, and that kind of counteracted this, you know, the stress that I was having in this job and realizing this wasn't going to be my forever job. So I started the coaching on the side, and it really did start to fulfill me. So that's another tool, I think, is start, like, if you're interested in certain things, do it on the side, just a little bit, even to see if it's something that brings you a lot of joy. If test it out, see if it's a possibility for a career, yeah, like being an author or a musician, you know, those things that you just think, oh, that's off the table. I can't do that. Do it on the side and you never know. Seriously, yeah, you'd never know.
Yeah, that's the one thing I really like about your history and your careers, plural, is it's okay to have different side hustles. And I don't mean to minimize side hustle because I know that these are significant for you, but it's okay to have different passions and interests and income streams.
Yes.
And I will say, you know, I have a good buddy of mine that's kind of going through a career change and he's going to go back and get his master's. He's 54 years old and it's a total 180 from, and he'll probably have a job to pay the bills. But I think when you have something like that you're working on at night or in the weekends or in the side or whatever, it changes the reframing of your current role that you may not love. So yeah. I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, you don't have to go into one career, right? You can go get the job that pays the bills and then maybe pursue music or whatever on the side. And then maybe that eventually becomes your thing.
Absolutely. 100%. I believe that. And that's what will, you know, you know, those people out there who say, there's just something missing in my life. There's just something, you know, I can't figure it out. And then they kind of give up because they think that, you know, they have to pay the bills, which is a reality with a lot of people. And that's okay. So pay the bills, but then don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your passions or the things that you've always wanted to try out. Yeah. Don't give up on that ever. Like I cannot sing, seriously. But I'm going to start taking singing lessons because I am not giving up. That it's a possibility. You never know.
It's so funny. I love, I have a farm and I'm out. I love I love animals. I got a dog and I'll usually go out and maybe have a cocktail or something and just go listen to music. And I always dreamed of, I don't really think I would like the attention. Like I don't think I would like to be famous, but the music is like a frequency. It's like a language that gets to me inside and it just kind of changes me, right? It not to get sensitive, but like, I've always gone like, why do I freaking love music so much? And it's usually like non-lyrical, like movie soundtracks, and it's like mathematical. And I know that I think we talked about meditation, but yeah, energy is a frequency. And it's just, so like you, I wish I could sing. I wish I could perform. I have zero talent, but I don't know, maybe it's not too late. I just don't think there's an audience for my talent. I don't think people would enjoy it. But I love music too. It's interesting. Yeah.
But maybe your wife would and your children.
Maybe. Like listening to me?
You never know.
Oh, they wouldn't. I can tell you they wouldn't. So a lot of what you've done is you've worked with women. Do you also kind of work with men or is your angle dealing with women and their issues?
I work with men too. And I have, and it's been very rewarding because it takes a lot of courage for a man in this world to say, you know, I think I really see this as a strength. If they say, hey, I just need a little tuning up here. I just need a little, you know, I just need a little something to bounce something off of. And I love that. It just, we're all in this together. And I love coaching men.
Yeah, I was just because like I, a buddy of mine, we're talking about doing a seminar for men to get unstuck in something that I've wrestled with for a long time, just in life, career. And I was trying to get very specific and like this will be men because, you know, you got the masculine, you got the feminine and I'm credible in the masculine. It's kind of like who I am. And I don't know if I could really be that valuable to women because it's just but then I'm like, okay, am I looking at this wrong? So I guess the question I have for you is when you're thinking about courage and passion and like, there are different stereotypical definitions for men and women, right? And so Do you feel like those should be blown up or do you think people should kind of, I don't know how to ask this, but stick on the road that, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes like being feminine as a man doesn't feel safe because you're supposed to be the breadwinner and you're supposed to make a lot of money and And then when you're pursuing, like I did coaching for a while and I felt, this isn't really, it feels good, but I don't know if it's the right way, you know, for me to go, you know, the right road for me to go down. So there was a little bit of, I was conflicted.
I don't know. So the question is, the answer to your question would be stay in your lane, whatever lane that is. And that is okay. There's not a, I think the longer I live, the real, I realize that there's not a script that fits everyone, but men in general, want to be brave. They want to be strong. They fixers, right? And there's characteristics there that and there's characteristics in women too in general, but there's some that do not fit in those characteristics, and that's their lane. And so courage is going to be different to them. The path that they're going to follow is different. Coaching is different for them. What they need. And so there's not one size fits all, but stay in the lane that you're in, and that's okay, whatever that is. But if you feel like, hey, I want to be a little bit more sensitive, you know, I want to feel things a little bit more. I want to communicate better, things like that. You know, there's all kinds of things that we can all use as human beings, and whatever it is you want to improve on, that's where coaching is going to help you.
Yeah, no, I mean it. I love it because it's about being courageous to go down that lane. And I think so many of us don't go down that lane because we're fearful of, doesn't seem right. Society doesn't see that. You know, I shouldn't be doing that, or I'm not good enough. So I just love the word courage and courageous. It's just such a, I'll just say it. It doesn't feel like it's a common belief system amongst people choosing careers. I don't feel like it's, many of them are courageous. So when I see authors or musicians or, you know, people that go down that road that where there's not a lot of certainty or security, I'm really like blown away by those people, right? I'm like, wow, they're brave. And then they're usually the people that are the happiest people I know, like the people that are, that went down and leveraged their passion. And I'm a little jealous, you know, I'm envious. Like I wish I could have done that 30 years ago, but I know it's not too late, but
never too late. Never too late.
Terry, what were you like back? I'm just curious, like high school, college, do you remember like what you were thinking? Like, did you jump right into being a pharmaceutical rep out of college?
No, I did not. And I think my answer is going to surprise you. I had, there's a reason that I became a coach and used my life experiences to help other people is because I was a high school dropout. And I did get my GED. And this is because I had this crazy dysfunctional family growing up. And I never gave up, though. And I went to college. Didn't quite graduate college. I'm just, for those that are listening, I'm not saying this is the path to go. I'm just saying this, that even with all the obstacles, you can succeed. And so I went to college. I wanted to be a chiropractor or a physical therapist. That was my goal. And I started on that path and realized, you know, it was challenging for me to work and go to school for, you know, full time. And so then I started working for an ophthalmologist office, and I went from there being a medical assistant to the very top, running the whole office, surgical assistant, doing everything. And so I had a lot of experience, and I always wanted to be a pharmaceutical rep. And I applied, and I was in the interview for 3 hours, and I pretty much had the job. And they looked at my resume and said, "Wait a minute, you went to college for this many years, but I don't see what degree that you have right now." And I had to say, "Yeah, I was just a few credits short." And then he was shocked. He's just like, "Okay, well, you know, I don't care if it's in basket weaving, you know, just how many more credits do you need?" And then he said, "You know what? You have the experience. So I'm going to go up the line and see what we can do." And I was the first woman and person in this big pharmaceutical company, huge pharmaceutical company, to get the job without a college degree, because I was just short a few credits. So that's my story, that I pursued my goal regardless. I wish I would have gone back to get that few credits left, but it didn't keep me from following my path and my dreams, but it does help.
Yeah.
It is
interesting. I've had this conversation with my daughter who's in college and she doesn't see the point. And then she's really wise and we have good conversations about, and unfortunately I feel like it's kind of like a differentiator. Like you kind of have to, there is a extent of playing the game, you know, because yes. If you kind of, and I've always never played the game very well, but I get it. But I think your story is interesting because I think there's people that could be watching that are really struggling. Like they hate school or they don't feel smart for whatever reason. Maybe they have ADHD and they can't sit through 7 classes. I don't know. But what would you say to somebody? I guess you'd probably say, don't give up. But like, what would be the tactical advice on somebody that might not have a support group? Maybe their parents aren't very loving or warm. They can't talk to them, or brothers and sisters. They're alone and they're like, I'm miserable and I don't want to go to school. I don't know what to do. I just dropped out, you know, like you did in high school or whatever. I won't get into asking you why, but like, this is not a unique story. There's probably a lot of people that have done this or are doing it. What do you say to them that kind of, they have their hands in the air and they don't know what the hell to do?
To find someone you can talk to, and also realize that you're in a good place right now because a lot more people are taking different paths and there are a lot of reasons or help. I mean, if there's ever a regret I possibly would have had is to like, I should have finished that college degree, but it didn't stop me. I still feel great about myself and all of that just because of circumstances. And I did struggle in school as well. I did struggle. So I wish I would have known, oh, there's people out there that can help you. If you want to get that college degree, there's people, there's tutors, there's people that can help you get there. You might be slower. It might take longer, but never, ever give up. And there's a lot more people out there that have had alternative careers that didn't require a college degree. Also, there's many of them out there. So just know that that is also possible. So maybe go to a career counselor and, you know, or just a regular counselor or, you know, someone that can help you and know that you're not alone. There's many, many, many people out there that are in your shoes. And maybe it's because you have a hard time studying and it's just painful for you. But you can get through it. You can find help. And if that still doesn't work, then there are other opportunities out there for you.
Yeah. So is there something else that you're going to pursue in the future? Like you've done a lot of things, you're doing a lot of things. Like, are you enough? Is this it? Like, and there's nothing wrong with it. Is,
oh, that's well, really like, good.
I mean, is there something else on the horizon that you still want to do? Or is it singing?
Singing. I want to be proficient in Spanish. I know some Spanish, but I want to, you know, speak it fluently and also sing. I want to record a song and be proud of it
and
send
it
to my family. you know, and it's funny. It's kind of a goal I've had. Like my parents are still alive. This is kind of strange. Maybe not that I wanted to sing, you know, during their celebration of life. I want to have that. Isn't that strange? I don't know why, but I thought, like you said, it's almost a soulful,
frequency.
Spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Music.
Yeah, it is. It's powerful. I don't think you said singing at your parent. I think I'll be crying. My dad passed away, but I'm very close to my mom. I'm like, I don't think I could sing, let alone talk, give a speech. So if you can sing, I'm impressed. You know, we have a mutual friend who can probably help you with that.
I know we do. And guess who has never heard her sing?
Yeah. Yeah, we went to high school together, and I remember, I think she was in choir or whatever, but she's very passionate about music, and she has a lot of skill.
You know what? Thank you for that. I might just reach out to her. See, I think what you're saying right now is a great message for everyone listening. You know, everyone wants to help another. Most people want to help you, and you just have to ask. You know, say, I don't know where to go. I don't know what direction to go, and I want to accomplish this. I want this kind of career, you know, and a lot of times it's just, why don't you call people that are already in that career or someone that's already sings well, you know, and say, where do I start?
Yeah. I was thinking like, is it Brené? Is that the woman that's really popular on the TED Talk?
Yes.
So
Brené Brown.
I always associate vulnerability with her speech.
Yes.
And now I was thinking about you and you're crazy. So your thing is courage and her thing is vulnerability, but I think being vulnerable is not safe for a lot of young adults because they think they have to, but that's one of the things I've always been very comfortable kind of being is vulnerable. And I think that's a great point you made about just kind of put your hands down and just ask for the help. People do want to help and they want to pass it on and give back. And my hope is like a lot of these, I was very blessed. I had a lot of people in my life that I could turn to for help. And a lot of people don't. And so part of this podcast is I'm trying to be able to reach people, anybody with an internet connection that maybe want to be a life coach or a speaker or a doctor or a dentist or a electrician. And they really don't know what it's like. They don't have someone in their life they can sit down with. So I hope I can get access to those people. But I think asking and being vulnerable is really good advice.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you can also ask to volunteer in that career and just see if you can like it. You know, there's a lot, all different paths and ways to get there or to figure out, hey, is this something I like? And it does take vulnerability to ask for help, but people are felt honored to help. Just remember that.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this question. It's not like you've been a one trick pony, like you're a doctor and this is what you've done a lot of different things. What for somebody that's been successful in different areas, different careers, that has passion in different, you know, speaking, podcasting, being an author, being a coach, being a realtor, what didn't you see coming? And I won't ask you your age, but like at your age, sitting right now, looking back, like, is there a surprise or is there something like, whoa, I did not expect to feel this way. Is there anything that stands out?
There's so much. I feel like I have lived the width of my life, not just the length of my life. And everything from here on out is bonus. Because I was brave, I was vulnerable, and I went for things that scared me. I was so scared. I thought, because I was also scared of failure, because I also looked at my past as maybe possibly some failures in the past. But I got over that and realized that real failure is not even trying. And because I tried, I really have done things and accomplished things that have filled my heart and my talent. And I would have never known that. And it was later on in life. I didn't know I could speak. I didn't know I could be a, you know, inspirational speaker or an author of, you know, and people look at you, you know, when you're an author, like, oh, I so want to be an author. I go, well, you can. If I can, you can. And, you know, it's just amazing. So there's been so many surprises.
And I'm not at all, I don't ever get negative on this, but I always ask this question that everyone's like, what don't you like about, like, and usually it's a job, like, tell me something about your career that you like, if you could just get rid of it and change it, you would. Is there anything, like, if you could go back in time knowing what you know now, would you have kind of done anything differently?
I probably would have asked for help a little bit earlier. I think I dredged through learning certain things that were tedious. How to promote myself was something I did not love to do. And I can do this on my own, you know. And then I wish I could have asked for help a little earlier on that. How do I become successful in this? And it, like you said, it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
Even in my coaching career, you know, getting my coaching clients, the right clients and all of that, you know, I struggled through that, not fun, but then I did ask for help and it became much easier. People that have already, they've already done all the hard work and they know how to do it. So same, and the same with speaking. So, you know, that's the only thing I would have changed.
How nervous were you getting up on stage? I don't know how big the audience was, but I've seen many TEDx speeches, and I've always thought I'd be really nervous unless I was talking about something that was, you know, that I was really passionate about. Like, were you just freaked out, or was it easy for you?
I was terrified. And I was terrified but I was also excited. There was some excitement there too, because I'd never done this before in a large audience. There's 300 or 400 people there. And I knew that it would go past the 300 or 400 people because it would be on, you know, people could download it and listen to it. And I was also telling stories I'd never told anyone, because I always wanted to have this facade that my life is great, I look great, blah, blah, blah. And I was telling some very vulnerable stories. So that was it was terrifying. But as soon as I walked off the stage, I have never felt so free and liberated in my entire life. Hmm. And I knew right then that I love speaking, because I kind of came alive on stage. As soon as I walked out, there was just something that happened. I'm like, oh my gosh, I found my passion. This is a skill I have. And people say, I would throw up if I were you. And I'm like, no, I kind of liked it.
So, yeah. I love that. There's something you just said that I like, when you're actually doing something, like, you know, let's just say you have these 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 things that are just who you are. They're core to kind of your soul, your whatever, and you are doing them. You know, for me, it was like, you know, working with kids and coaching and playing sports. And I'm kind of a smart ass. So I like, you know, I mean, I used to do prank phone calls a lot. And, but when I'm doing what's natural, it's just such a good feeling. Like, I don't even look at the clock. I'm not even thinking about money. I'm not comparing myself, robbing myself. Like, I'm just in a flow. And I think that's the thing that might be hard for a young adult, is like, they're listening, like, what are you talking about? But when you act, it's really easy, is when you're doing what is natural, it's kind of like right in front of your face. Life is different. I mean, I shouldn't speak for every life for me is different. So like, and I find myself like doing these things and I'm like, this is what I want in my career. Like, I want, and it's not like I'm the smartest, the richest, the funniest. I'm just doing what's natural. And I think when you're talking about speaking, maybe you experienced a little bit of that, where you're just like, this is it. This is who I am. And it feels really good.
I think you described it perfectly. It's almost like time stops and you're in present time, and it's effortless. It just flows. And, you know, you're just in the moment, and it's not like, you know, you're efforting, because you're just so enjoying it. And it's just a part of who you are that comes out naturally. Mm-hmm. And it's like a tuning fork, I don't know, in music, again, here we go, music, the tuning fork that, you know, you're in that sweet spot and you know when you're there.
Yeah.
A lot of these characteristics, we probably could go back into our childhood, and kids just don't even think about doing things. They just do it. And you see probably some of these characteristics that you're looking for into your adult life probably had when you were little. And yeah. I would get up and perform. I would create things and perform. I don't think I sang, but, you know, that was a natural thing for me. But so now I look back, oh yeah, that was something I just did.
I used to perform for my parents after dinner. I'd put on the music and we had a hardwood, and I would run and slide into the room and I would sing and dance. And I was trying to remember, like, I love Neil Diamond. I got hooked on him, but like Grease, I remember singing the Grease and the Bee Gees, and but yeah, I can't imagine performing at 53. Okay, so as we wrap this up, I mean, we've talked about a lot of things. We haven't really gone deep on any one specific career, but I really wanted to bring you on just to kind of talk about being courageous to pursue, you know, a career that's in alignment with who you are. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think is relevant kind of for this topic?
I think we've covered it all, but I really want everyone to know, whatever direction you go, you want to find joy, passion in your life, and find it somewhere. If it's, and hopefully you can find it in your career, but if not, have it, do it on the side, because that's ultimately what will bring you happiness.
Yeah. I mean, finding it, but then being courageous to explore it, right? I think maybe a lot of people in our heart or our mind, we think, I think this is something that I would love, but for some reason they stumble or they get frozen or numb and they just don't go down that road. So the whole being courageous to do it.
Yes.
And by the way, that butterfly behind you, I keep thinking about like spreading your wings and flying and being courageous. It's kind of, is that the reason why the butterfly is there? Cause it seems to be perfect for what you do.
Yes. And I was going to try to find my book, Truth, Courage, and Love was my memoir that came out last January. It's called Truth, Courage, and Love. And it has butterflies on there and it's about, transforming yourself. And my story is about that, that you can transform yourself and fly. And when you're in that sweet zone and really living your passions and your strengths and, that's what it feels like.
Yeah. And that's what I call the genius zone, or that's what Gay Hendricks in the book, The Big Leap. That's what the whole zone of genius is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Last question. So we talked about music, just kind of curious. If you were on an island for the rest of your life and you could only choose three bands, music bands to listen to. I should have asked my wife this because we have such different music tastes, but like, who are some of your favorites?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
I know it is. I like so many different kinds of music.
Yeah. Give me one.
Adele?
Yeah.
She's inspiring, it's just soulful music.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you ever see that prank where she disguised herself and she was on stage and it was like this contest and they were all singing?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, you got to look it up on YouTube where she's like had this big nose, a wig. You didn't know it was her. And they're all like, there's like 10 women, I think, competing for this singing thing. And she gets up and they do video on all the women and watching, and they're looking at each other like, this gal is amazing. And she sounds just like Adele. And it was her. But anyways, I love that. That was pretty good.
I like Michael Jackson too. I'm just one of those. That was my first album was, the Jacksons. That's aging myself a bit. But
that's okay. I love Michael.
Yeah.
My parents, my mom and stepdad were at the Rose Bowl, and they were in this is a funny story. They were in a hotel and it was really loud. And my mom opened a door and looked out, and it was Michael Jackson and a bunch of kids playing in the hall.
No.
And then, and she shut the door. And then I came there like 5 minutes later, but she hears a knock on her door and it's Michael, and he's all by himself. And he's like, I won't try to do his voice, but he apologized for being loud. And then like 5 minutes later, I get there and I was like, oh, I'm so mad, because I would have loved to meet him. He was a genius.
Wow. That was close. You were so close to meeting him. Wow. I would have just, I thought he was amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
Well, Terry,
there's so many, but those are two. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you got to really think about variety. Like, I love Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Neil Diamond, Bob Marley. You want a variety, right? You don't want all rock or all country or whatever.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah. I like the Rolling Stones. I love them. There's Sting.
There's a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
And we're talking about music. Like, to me, like, those people were so courageous, because it's so hard to make it in that world, right?
Yes.
And they just went for it. And then they kind of like live these amazing lives and they're secure financially. But like, I always look up to people that went for it and took a chance.
Yes. And there's a lot of stories where, their parents were like, no, you need a backup. You got to have a backup. And they're like, no, I really want to do this. Totally. So there's a lot of documentaries out there where, they knew they're going to make it successful. And they did.
Yeah, they did.
Thanks, courage.
Thanks for coming on. You were great. I think you've got a call or a coaching thing coming up. If somebody wants to reach out to you, just your website, is it terrysidford.com?
Yes. Yes. Okay. You can find me there. I'd love to talk to you, and never give up. If anything, I will have a consultation with you. If you're not sure what to do, what direction to go, I'd love to help you.
And your books are on that site so that if they wanted to purchase or if they're interested in coaching or having you speak at an event, all of the above?
All of the above. And my books, 100 Hearts Spelled Out and Truth, Courage, Love. They're all on my website.
Awesome. You were great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Derek. It was an honor.
All right. Take care.
Bye.